Podmoth. Should I start?
If you'd like.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Future is Bright? I am Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
I feel like we haven't done this in forever.
I feel like we haven't either.
Has it been 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that on the way here. There's no way that we're ever going to have a normal posting schedule.
No. That would never happen.
It just can't happen.
Oh, it's definitely not going to happen because today's Tuesday and I didn't post an episode. So.
Wow, we are the worst. I was supposed to edit one, wasn't
I? Yeah, you were.
Did you put it on the
thing? Nope, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay, so it's technically not my fault.
Fuck it, we're taking off for Christmas week.
Right.
Everyone can go fuck
last
themselves.
Week we had, did we take off? No, we posted
something. I posted last week, yeah. I just didn't post this week. Maybe I'll post tomorrow.
Okay, well.
Or Thursday. I'll edit tomorrow, post Thursday.
Right, yeah, whatever.
It's Tuesday, the 21st before Christmas, so if you don't get an episode this week,
it's...
Fuck you, it's not my problem.
Yeah, sorry. Last week it was a rough week for me. I had to get tested for COVID about 4 times in a week, so, you know, all were negative, so we're good.
We're chilling.
But I wasn't trying to bring COVID here, so I stayed home. But yeah, all is well here. We're watching The Elf. The Elf. Wow.
We're watching The Almighty Elf.
What else is going on? We have a strict getting tattooed date at some point.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah,
we're definitely getting our matching tattoos. We just have to figure out what we want and when. And
I'm really book excited. A place.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited. So that's another thing that's happening in our lives.
Yeah.
What else?
Christmas
is like 4 days away.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Christmas.
Are you? I'm not, for some reason.
See, I'm very excited because my Christmas last year was the absolute worst time period of my entire human existence.
That is true.
So, I am excited to have a normal Christmas this
year. Right, that is true. Bridget was quarantined last Christmas.
Last year I was quarantined, my dad almost had to be hospitalized.
Right.
It was not a fun time, and literally happened 4 days before Christmas, so I'm having a little bit of PTSD.
Right.
However,
it's fine.
As long as I can have my Christmas, I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
So we're fine.
Yeah, I'm not that excited. I think it's just because I'm old. So like,
I love Christmas time. Like,
I do too, but I haven't seen any of the Christmas lights. Like, I wanted to go to the Jones Beach Light Show
so bad. Jenny are going after Christmas.
I think that's what I'm going to end up doing. My mom has tickets, but I wanted to go with Ronnie because like, that's like a cute couple-y thing to do. But doing anything like that with him, it takes a lot of convincing. So, I haven't been able to fully convince him yet.
Yeah, Jimmy really wants to go. And I said... Well, you broke your foot.
Right.
By the way, Jimmy broke his foot.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
And my brother broke his hand.
Yeah.
I brought cripples to the movies last night.
Yeah, Bridget saw Spider-Man. I have not seen
it
yet. It
was fucking fantastic. If you guys haven't gone seen it and you're like, the MCU, I won't ruin it for you, but it was good. But, what was I saying?
Something about bringing cripples to the movies.
Oh, no, because Jimmy broke his foot.
Right.
So we were supposed to go to
the... Are you cold now? Your hood's up.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was just bothering me, like, sitting back. Do I, though?
You do. All right, sorry, I disrupted your story. Going to the movies with two cripples. Well, Jimmy broke his foot.
Right, so we were supposed to go to the light show the night that...
The day after that incident occurred. Can he drive?
It's his left foot.
Oh, so
thank
he's
God.
Good.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, well, that's exciting that happened. That was another big moment in our lives.
Yeah.
Your fish has been creeping me out because he's trying to eat something on the
floor.
There's been 2 fish deaths.
No! No. There's been 1 fish death.
Oh.
1 fish my dad refuses to take out, but he's barely holding on.
Oh no, which one?
One of the silver dollar ones, only he's like underneath a rock over there.
Oh god.
Because he no longer swims, however my dad will not take him out of the tank.
Oh, that's so... he just spit up all the rocks. That was crazy.
He probably had them in his mouth.
He did.
He's moving.
Yeah, okay, well that's sad. A bunch of Bridget's fish died.
Me and my dad jinxed it though, I'm convinced.
One time we were in 9th grade, I would say. Bridget and I won fish from the fair.
Excuse you. Let's pause this story for a second.
Did I win fish?
Lindsay won a fish right. from the fair. Like those gold fish.
Right, the goldfish that you, the like, feeder throw. Fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bridget, like, I didn't know Bridget's parents as well as I do now.
Yeah.
Bridget's dad, if you guys don't know, loves fish. Like, it's, like, his thing.
Yeah.
So, Bridget brought this fish home because, probably because I said my cats would eat it if that happened.
Yeah, something along the lines of that.
So, she brought it home, and it killed all of her fish. So, every single one was killed by that fish.
Yeah, I think it brought, like, a disease, and then it just...
And I was terrified for years that your dad hated me because of that.
Hey, listen, honestly, it was a good excuse because he wanted to change the tank anyway. He just didn't know how to get rid of the fish.
There we go. And I was so scared that he hated me because of it. So I'm glad that he doesn't. But yeah.
Everybody knows that true crime can be a real buzz killer. So why not pair it with a nice glass of wine?
Join us, Macy and Nicole, the hosts of Buzzkillers, a true crime podcast, as we drink our way through new bottles of wine every week while navigating true crime cases, conspiracy theories, and even some spooky haunts.
The deep dives are kept light with banter and personal tales, and even the occasional boozy hiccup.
Listeners are encouraged to grab a drink of any kind and tune in every Sunday as we tell the tales of the wicked that plague this world.
Buzzkillers can be streamed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and anywhere else you like to listen. Check out our website, www.buzzkillerspodcast.com, for more information.
Today we're going to talk about Daniel LaPlante. Do you know who that is?
Daniel LaPlante.
Yeah. No. He's a very strange man.
Okay. Well, tell me about him.
He was born on May 16th, 1970 in Townsend, Massachusetts. There's not a whole lot of information about his childhood, but during his own early teen years, he lived with his mother and stepfather, Elaine and David Moore, and his two brothers, Stephen and Matthew, also in Massachusetts still. Your fish keeps eating the floor and then spitting it back
up. He's moving. He wants to move the rocks around. Let him be.
Oh, is that how they do it?
Well, they're not going to pick them up with their hands.
That's pretty cool. Okay, sorry. It was well documented that Daniel had a miserable, traumatic childhood.
Oh, no.
During which he was physically abused, psychologically abused, and sexually abused by his father and stepfather. At school, he struggled academically, and as a result, he struggled academically because he had dyslexia, which he didn't receive any support for, so he kind of just wasn't getting better. He was just, you know.
I feel like that's so scary.
Yeah.
To have dyslexia and just, like, not...
Because you don't know what's going on,
well, either. But I feel like, is there a treatment for dyslexia?
Probably, like, a way around. Not, like, a...
Or, like, just, like, hey, you have this, pay attention.
Right. And, but... It could be that, like, the people, the special education teachers and the teachers who do it, they can teach a way, can they do that? Like, to teach a way to view it the way he sees
I feel like there would be a way to just be, like, to teach them how to, like, read slower.
Right.
So that, like, it's like, okay, you know that, like, your C's and your B's get confused, so, like, this is. But I don't really know, honestly.
Interesting. Yeah. So, on top of being academically, struggling academically, he had almost no social life. Other children found him creepy or weird, and he consistently came to school smelling bad and wearing dirty clothes. So, his classmates did everything that they could to avoid him.
Me.
During his early teens, he began seeing a psychiatrist at the recommendation of the school. And he was diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder. But instead of treating Daniel, the psychiatrist began sexually abusing him.
Oh, because that's a much better thing to do.
Yep.
Treatment? No. Yep. Sexual assault.
So the abuse went on for over a year. And obviously, he ended his sessions in an even worse condition than when he began.
You don't say. Couldn't imagine.
Yeah. So it was at that time that Daniel's career... Criminal career began. Instead of spending his time, as most teens did, hanging out with friends, playing sports, he began breaking into people's homes. It was clear that his motivation wasn't really, like, just about stealing valuables, but it was about the thrill of being in someone else's home without them knowing.
Okay. I feel like I kind of get that.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, you don't...
Would
don't
I do know. It? No.
No.
However, I get the thrill.
Right, yeah. So, that's what gave him a little... He obviously would take things, but it was more the fact that, like, I'm in here, nobody knows.
I feel like I get that.
Yeah.
Not that I want to relate to him, but I feel like I get
no,
it.
No, yeah, you definitely don't want to relate to him,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, I know I'm going to regret it down the line, but, you know.
He would root around in people's belongings, and he would move objects and furniture to kind of be creepy, like...
Could you imagine if you came home and just, like, a chair was, like, in the middle of the kitchen?
Yeah. No.
First of all, I wouldn't think that somebody was in my house. I'd think that there was a ghost.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That was my first guess. And that actually, like, well, you'll... It,
oh,
like,
really?
Becomes, like, a thing. Yeah.
I feel like that would be the first thing that
I
think.
I agree. I don't think I... First of all, if it was so subtle, I don't think I would notice for a while.
Yeah, well, me
which
either.
Makes it worse.
Yeah.
But once I do notice, I will be fully creeped out.
I feel like I would think there's a ghost in my house, not, like, some dude is sneaking into my house.
No.
Like,
He also would leave items sitting around, like, half-drunk beverages. So, like, he would, like, people would be like,
ew.
What the fuck? Yeah. He derived pleasure from the knowledge that he was scaring people and even making them think that they were losing their minds. So.
I kind of get it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's...
That's kind of, like...
I think it's, like, common sociopath, like,
I feel like it is also, but I... Well, okay. Maybe I shouldn't continue what I was going to say.
But I would do it, too.
I feel like I wouldn't do it, but, like, I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's, like,
because you're, like, oh,
fun.
I'm scaring this person. Like,
but
that's
we would
fun.
Do it because we think it's funny.
Like,
he
I'd
does
do
it because...
Yeah. Like, I'd do it to my brother so that he would get freaked out.
Right.
Not, like, because I'm, like, maliciously trying to do it. Like, this
guy
probably is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna assume that it's
it
ends bad.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So I'm gonna tell you guys a story about something that he did, and I need to preface it that some of my sources, like, explain them in full and detail. Others said it was very fabricated.
Okay.
Like, this story was very fabricated.
Okay.
At the end of the day, he does like do something bad. But, like, take this story with what you...
Like, a great assault.
Yeah, like, who knows? I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that it's real or that it happened.
Well, what sources said that it didn't and what sources
said
that it didn't?
There was two sources that I used fully that said, like, you know, this whole thing happened. And they were pretty much, like, very similar. Like, you know, the whole story. And then I was listening to a YouTube video about it.
Okay.
And he, like, was kind of saying that, like, it might not have even happened, but it definitely happened. I just feel it might be a little bit fabricated.
Like, different.
Yeah, like, what,
like,
people
not
are
as
saying.
Dramatic.
Because it is absolutely insane. Like, that's why I picked this case, was because of this. So, like, it could be a little bit fabricated, but, like, it definitely happened.
Like, so, like, so, there's some truth to it, most likely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Copy. I'm prepared now.
So this happened in 1986. He set in motion a series of events that would be what he was known for forever, basically. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to talk about Brian Andrews and his family.
Oh, Brian Andrews.
Yes. He lived in the nearby town of Pepperell, Massachusetts, with his two daughters, 15-year-old Annie and 8-year-old Jessica.
Oh, we haven't had an intruder in a long time. Here he is,
hello.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Vaccinated,
S.U. Yeah!
Okay.
Big day in this household.
Okay. I said it all along. I was not anti-vax.
No?
I'm anti you telling me what to do.
I was just telling the story about the time I came here and I brought a fish to your house in 9th grade and killed all your fish.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The whole African tank?
Yeah, the whole African tank. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Liz.
You're
welcome. I'm trying to think of a way to pay you back since, but I... that was right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you tell Lindsay about Sally?
Oh, the...
The little girl in my house.
Oh, you named her Sally?
Well, that used to be Bridget's friend.
Oh, so you think... Oh, yeah, we ended
the
episode
last week.
Talked
about this last week.
My sisters don't believe us that, like, this happened. That, like, little...
Oh, it happened.
Yeah.
Because me and my wife, literally, she closed the door in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And we heard, hello. And both of us turned around and looked at each other. And she's like, did you just hear a fucking little girl say hello? And I was like, okay, I thought I was crazy. You heard it. And she's like, I heard it. I was like,
That's like that's the reason why I knew that it was like real is because he heard it. If mommy just called me and was like, I heard it, I'd be like, all right, calm down. Right. But like since you heard it, that makes it like 10 times more believable.
Wow.
The scariest thing though, honest to God, used to be her sitting in her bed,
right,
having a full conversation with
Sally.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And you'd walk in and she'd be sitting.
But little kids like, do that.
Yeah, they're imaginary friends.
Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah, but it was like...
They're real.
Yeah, see, Ronnie's niece does that.
They're real.
Like, she gets scared.
Yeah.
Like, you know she'll,
that
like...
they say that that's a sign of genius.
Really?
That's what they say. Yeah, I'm so fucking smart. Let's go.
They say that.
She'll look up and she'll just be like... And, like, she gets so scared. And, like, she, like, covers her head. And we're like, what's wrong? And she, like, just gets scared of nothing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, because, like, I, like, could probably draw what this girl looked like, still.
Oh, God.
And, like, I'm sure it would be something.
They say because you are able to connect with your, inner psyche.
Right. And,
with something.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was, like, when I was a kid, I used to.
That is cool.
Yeah, I'd be outside in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
Turn around and go, the phone's gonna ring.
Oh, really?
Sure as shit.
That's weird. Oh, God.
Anyway, I don't even remember where you were. Starting this thing that
you did.
A chain of events.
Right.
Wow, I'm gonna have to cut out literally, like, 20 minutes. Yeah. He came down here, I looked at the time. 12 minutes. Guess what we're at now?
Like, 27.
26.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, we're good. Mine's not that long, so we're okay. So we're talking about Brian Andrews, who lived in a nearby town called Pepperell, I'm going to call it that.
Okay.
Massachusetts. He had two daughters, 15-year-old Annie and 8-year-old Jessica.
Cute.
The family was going through a rough period after the loss of Brian's wife, who they lost to cancer. Annie, being 15 years old, obviously, had begun thinking about boys. She and her friends would chat about dating, who had a crush on who, whatever, typical conversations. So when Annie began receiving phone calls at home from a boy, she was intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
The boy told her his name was Danny and that he had gotten her phone number from a mutual friend who attended her high school. Now, this Danny was, you know, our Danny, our Daniel.
Okay.
Of course, this was a lie. It was believed that he had previously broken into the Andrews home had done some creeping.
Right.
He found out that Annie lived there, probably seeing her in, like, family photos.
Right.
And then became obsessed with her. So then he did some more digging and managed to get the family's phone number.
This is, like, some, like, Joe shit from you.
Oh, it keeps going, so it's fine. On the phone, he described himself as tall, blonde, athletic, and smart.
Tall, blonde, and handsome.
There we go. They spoke regularly over the phone for the next week, so let me just tell you now, don't do this if a random person calls your phone.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah.
That just sounds, like, not a good thing to do.
A little weird, but, you know, whatever.
When was this? The 80s?
Yeah.
That's why.
It was 1986. 86? Yeah. Annie enjoyed talking to Danny, so when he asked her out on a date, she agreed. He would pick her up at her house, and then they would go to the local fair.
To be fair, though...
In the 80s?
Not even in the 80s. You talk to random people, not
well,
you.
Well, yeah, that's
you talk
true.
To random people on Tinder all
right,
the time.
Right, that's true. But yeah, I guess it makes sense, but it's still, like...
But, like, it's weird. Don't
it's
get me wrong.
Weird.
But, like, you had to, like, put it into perspective
right.
that every girl
every
on the planet
does
the does same
that. Yeah.
thing.
I guess you're right. So, when the day arrived, Annie was obviously excited. The doorbell rang, and she rushed to answer it. When she opened the door, she was taken aback. When the boy who stood at her doorstep did not look anything like she had expected. Over the phone, like I said he was tall, blonde, and athletic. But he was none of those things. He was about 5'8".
Oh,
thin,
short king.
Yeah. Thin, with greasy dark hair and heavy untamed eyebrows, and his skin was riddled with acne. He introduced himself as Danny. So, there
we go. He wasn't lying.
Right. His name was his name.
That
there
was
we
the
go.
Only thing he didn't lie about.
Right. Annie tried to, like, hide her dismay about it, so she still went on the date, but she got bad vibes from the moment she set eyes on him. As they walked through the fair, Annie told Danny about her fam. Annie and Danny.
Annie and Danny, I just...
Yeah. She told her about his family and was mentioning the recent death of her mother from cancer. It was as though the mention of death flicked a switch for Danny. His eyes suddenly lit up and he became extremely, like, animated and, like, excited. He began bombarding Annie with questions about the death and, understandably, from the quizzing about her dead mother, she suffered, like, she was extremely uncomfortable.
Well, yeah.
So, hello. Yeah. So, for after about an hour of being with him, Annie decided that she had spent enough time with him, and she decided to go home.
Yes.
She made it very clear that she did not want to see or hear from him again.
And see, I probably wouldn't have done that in person.
Right. Probably yeah, I would have just, like, scared.
Not answered his phone yeah. calls.
Yeah, but, I mean, good for her for, like, being mad enough to be like, I'm not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, also, anymore. Like, I guess he knows where she lives, so
right.
it doesn't really
right. matter. Right, right. She thought that this would be the last time she would ever see him again. Thought.
Gonna go ahead yeah. and say that's not true.
Yeah. So now this is, like, several days later. The Andrews sisters, which is Annie and her sister, I don't remember her name, Jessica, were hanging out at home and they began talking about their mom. They began telling stories about her and reminiscing about the good times back when their family was a whole.
Sure.
Then they had an idea. They wanted to have a séance.
What the fuck?
So, they didn't obviously expect anything to happen, but they had little else to do, so they thought they would give it a try. This is me, like, thinking, like, it's a Friday night, these girls are like, let's just, like, do the freaking, what's it called?
The Ouija board. Oh, that's like, never a good fucking
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
Don't ever touch a Ouija board.
Yeah, no. I have never done it, and I don't think I ever
will. I will never yeah. bring a Ouija board into my house.
Yeah. No, your mom would kill us if we did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No way.
So they went to the basement, and they
why do people always do Ouija boards in the basement?
Yeah, I don't know. I
can we do like it, like, in a, like, nice lit
right,
room?
Right, see, but this is also, we're taking this with a grain of salt. This might be untrue. True. So, I don't...
Can I look up what
you
this
can.
Guy looks like? Okay.
Yes, that's you can, and after I finish... So when I get to the point where I finish the story, I'm gonna let you look it up, and you can do your own research to tell me if you think it's real or not.
Okay, that's there fair. Okay. Daniel...
LaPlante, L-A... P-L-A-N-T-E. So they went to the basement, and they went about what they thought you were supposed to do with a seance. They lit candles, they held hands, they sang some songs. You know. They weren't taking it very seriously, obviously, but it was a distraction, and they needed that. So when their dad came home from work, obviously they ended it, because they didn't want him to know what they were up to, fearing that he would think that they'd gone crazy, obviously. Okay. And then later that night, Annie and Jessica were lying in their beds, and they began hearing a rhythmic tapping sound on the walls. Automatically, they thought, oh my god, like, the seance worked.
That is, like, creepy timing. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. So, the two girls sat together in Annie's room and listened to the tapping. They were giddy with their excitement about the idea that it actually worked. Their excitement was short-lived, however, because the tapping became pretty constant and only occurred when they were home alone or in the dead of night when their father was asleep. It was becoming disruptive, to the point that the girls were losing sleep. It wasn't long before objects and furniture began moving around the house and disappearing.
Ew.
Yeah. For example, one of the girls would put food on the kitchen counter, leave the room for 5 minutes, and when they would come back, it would be gone. Yeah.
Move.
Yep.
Move.
They told Brian about what was going on and that they believed that there was a ghost in the house, but he told them that this was nonsense and that they were just grief-stricken over the loss of their mom. So he, like, reassured them that, like, everything's okay, there's not a ghost.
I despise that.
Yeah. One evening, the girls were home alone and that tapping began again. But at this time, it sounded as though it was coming from below them. Annie grabbed a kitchen knife, and together the two crept down to the basement.
Oh no, don't ever go to the basement. That's rule number one yeah. of, like, horror movies.
Yep. To their horror, on the wall of the basement was a message written in what looked like blood. It said, quote, I'm in your room. Come find me.
No. No, no. I'm good.
Stunned, Annie and Jessica turned and fled up the basement stairs and out of the house. So
okay, I was gonna say, if you told yeah. me that they went into the fucking room, I was gonna lose my mind.
Yeah, no. They ran to a neighbor's home who let them stay there until their father had returned home from work. Brian didn't know, like, what his daughters were doing, like, that they had this, like, seance or whatever. So he still was convinced that it was, like, just strange, like, strange occurrences that... Sorry, what? He believed that, like, all these things happening, including the writing on the wall, which turned out to be ketchup, where Jessica and Annie's doings just, like, kind of playing tricks on him. He thought that it could have been a cry for attention because he was away so often.
Cry for help.
Right. Well, he decided that the girl should see a therapist because...
Oh, because they're the crazy ones.
Right. Right. But now we're going to fast forward to January 1987.
Okay.
Whoever or whatever was terrorizing the family was not done yet. It had actually been about 2 weeks since the incident in the basement, and the knocking on the walls had actually stopped. Mm. But that really wouldn't last.
Of course not.
The girls were home alone, and the knocking started again, but this time it was coming from Annie's room. Annie once again picked up a kitchen knife, and together the two girls made their way to the stairs.
Again, you see, this is the problem.
Yeah.
You never go up and you never go down. Right. It's the one rule.
You kind of just stay where you are.
Like, how about just leave?
Right.
And call the cops.
I agree. Yeah. I think I would stay where I was or, like, run to a bathroom to hide, but call the cops
right now. No, you can't run to the bathroom either. You're locking yourself in a room.
Well, that's true. Like, I've done that so many times. Like, if I see someone come in my court and I don't know who they are, or, like, you know, like, PSEG, they, like, fucking come and, like, just, and they just go walk back in your backyard. Yeah. So I would always hide in the bathroom.
You can't lock yourself in a place.
I know. Well, you know, whatever. It's fine. It happens. They're fine.
I mean, like, not that you're ever gonna get murdered, but, like, hopefully.
Hopefully not. You don't know. Who knows?
Okay, let's...
Where am I at? Okay.
They went up to the stairs.
Yes. When they reached the doorway to Annie's room, they saw another message written on the wall, and it said, quote, "I'm back. Find me if you can."
Ew, I fucking hate that.
Yeah. So, screaming, the girls spun around, running down the stairs as fast as they could. They bolted out the front door and ran to their neighbor's home. Shaking with fright, they obviously told the neighbor what had happened, and the neighbor, who was, like, sympathetic to the fact that they just lost their mother, whatever, the neighbor said, "Oh, come in," and called their father.
Okay.
On the phone, Annie and Jessica told Brian about how the tapping had begun again and more writing had appeared on the wall. Irritated, Brian told the girls that he would come home, still believing that they were making the whole thing up. When Brian arrived, he marched straight into the house and up the stairs, and sure enough, there was writing on the wall. This is kind of where people say things have gotten exaggerated.
Okay.
But I kind of believe that in the beginning, things also were a little bit exaggerated, okay. So I don't really know for sure. As well as the writing on the walls, some reports say that the television was turned on to max volume. And then Brian turned to see another message on the wall, which the girls didn't notice, mm-hmm. And it said, quote, "Marry me."
Subtle.
Yeah. It was then that, like, it hit Brian that the writing on the walls, the knocking, the mysterious moving of objects was not just his daughters being crazy.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. There was something far more sinister going on. And then he saw something out of the corner of his eye move. He spun around and saw a short, scrawny boy standing in the hallway. The boy's face... Oh, shit. I just put that up to 100. Okay. I put it up to 300. The boy's face was caked in makeup, and he was wearing a blonde wig, a dress. Some sources said it belonged to Brian's wife. I don't really know if that's true, so. And then in his hand held a hatchet, so he, like, looked, like, fucking creepy as hell.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. A struggle ensued, but Daniel was able to escape. The police were obviously called in later to investigate, but it became clear why Daniel was able to vanish so suddenly. After discovering that each message had been written in ketchup, the police searched the house for clues on how Daniel may have been able to access the home in the first place. One officer then found a hidden crawl space behind a cupboard, which was built into the wall of Annie Andrews' bedroom. So there's a crawl space in the girl's bedroom.
You want to hear the funniest thing ever?
Yeah.
Yesterday,
uh-huh.
When we came back from seeing Spider-Man,
right.
My brother and I were talking about how, and Jimmy were talking about how, like, we were going to move, and then he was just going to move into, like, a cardboard box. Right. And Jimmy was like, oh, just live in the crawl space for whatever family moves in next. And then my brother was like, oh, I'll just live in the walls, and, like, I'll tap on the walls. And stuff, so that's just so weird.
Knew it was happening.
We were literally just talking about, like, tapping on the walls.
That's creepy. That is weird.
He'll, like, just whisper in, like, people's ears, he was saying. No. That's so
that
funny.
That is weird.
Anyway, sorry.
No, it's okay. So, there was a hidden crawl space basically built into the wall of Annie's bedroom. When the officer opened the hatch, he found Danny curled up inside.
Ew.
Yeah. The officers then obviously removed him from the crawl space and placed him under arrest. Once Danny had been removed from the scene, officers conducted a thorough search of the residence. To their horror, they discovered that Daniel had been living inside the walls of their home.
I believe it.
Yeah. The passageway, which they discovered Danny in, had been tunneled around to other areas of the house. There were a handful of people dotted around so Danny could observe Annie Andrews from whichever room she was in. It became clear, obviously, that Danny had been pretending to be the ghost of Annie and Jessica's mother in order to torment them. It is believed that Danny was planning on revealing himself to the girls while dressed as their dead mother.
Oh, vomit.
Yeah. Whether to genuinely pass himself off as the, as her spirit, or to, like, terrify them, nobody really knows.
Yeah.
However, we kind of think it was, like, to scare them.
Right.
So now that we're 3 pages into my, you know, research, we're not going to talk about an actual murder, you know?
Oh, you know, just switch to murder.
Yeah.
Walls and murders.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
The huge.
So, in the following year, so in, still in, 1986 or 87, like, 87, Danny was placed in a juvenile facility where he remained until October of the same year,
mm-hmm.
1987. It was almost immediately following his release, Danny returned to his life of burglary and, like, breaking into people's houses.
Shocking.
Yeah. During one of his robberies in November of the same year, so a month after he was released, he obtained 2 handguns from a neighbor's house. And then on December 1st, 1987, so 2 months after he was released from juvenile facility. Yeah. He broke into the Gustafson home. Around a half mile from his own house. Danny was greeted by pregnant Priscilla Gustafson, 33, and her 2 young children, Abigail and William.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Priscilla's husband, Andrew Gustafson, was at work when Danny invaded his home, and upon returning, he was met with the most harrowing sight of his life. He discovered Priscilla laying face down on her bed. Her pillows dyed with blood splatter, and she had been raped. She was shot multiple times in the head at a point-blank range. So, obviously, Andrew right away called the police.
Right.
Who then discovered the bodies of Andrew's two children in 2 different bathtubs.
Ugh.
5-year-old William had been drowned in the upstairs bathroom, while 8-year-old Abigail had endured a similar fate in the downstairs bathroom. And it was obviously Danny who did this. His exact reason for why he did it remains unknown. Ugh, I just did it again. 404, I put it to. Given his actions progressed rapidly from burglary to full-scale murder when he was in possession of a weapon, suggests that he didn't possess the confidence or physical strength to subdue his victims by hand. So, like, Annie and Jessica made it out alive, mainly because he didn't find them before, because he had a hatchet, but, so he just didn't feel, like, strong enough to do it by himself. In addition, a handful of items, which doubled as restraints, were found in the Gustafson household. This prompts the theory that Danny forced his way into the residence, held his victims at gunpoint while he restrained them, and then he likely killed Priscilla first to remove the biggest threat, and then drowned the children one by one.
As if the children were threats.
Right.
Like, the fuck?
They're, like, young
kids. And the pregnant woman.
Right. Stupid. It didn't take long for authorities to link the Gustafson family murder to Danny LaPlante. I guess maybe just because he was in the area, like, they know he was just taken out of juvie, or, like...
Yeah, but, like, he never killed anybody.
Right. So,
like,
they don't say exactly why.
Like, I mean, I guess, like, oh, good, but, like, kind of weird, like...
Yeah, I don't know why they thought right away to link him to it, but maybe because it was a break-in, like, and it was less than a mile from his house.
Maybe type that's of thing. Why, yeah.
And it's still only 3 months from when he left juvie, so...
Yeah, like, freshly out, the house was, like... Broken into. Yeah. Guess I get it.
So they sought to apprehend him, but they found that he had fled the area, so a manhunt ensued. He was considered to be armed and incredibly dangerous. Given his history, there was no telling what lengths he would go to avoid detection. But a few towns over from Townsend, where he was, he broke into a woman's home and kidnapped her in her vehicle.
Wow, we're really just like...
Yeah.
Just... We don't really care. Doing
good, yeah. The woman escaped, but Danny was spotted by someone who had seen his photograph in the news. He was discovered hiding in a dumpster 48 hours after the manhunt had begun. When he was inspected, a hair belonging to Abigail was discovered on his sock, which then obviously cemented him to the involvement of his murder. So 1 year later... Danny was sentenced to 3 life sentences for the murder of the Gustafson family. Since his incarceration, he has shown little remorse for his actions while clearly suffering from a multitude of personality disorders. He continues to show that he is broken beyond repair. From the years of 1988 to 2014, he attempted to sue the courts multiple times for violations of his rights. In one case, he claimed that the prison system violated his religious rights, as he alleged he was a practicing Satanist.
Could you imagine if that worked? Like, yo, listen, I practice Satanism, right. Y'all can't fucking, you can't keep me in here. These bars just can't keep me in here.
Yeah, it didn't work, so.
No. I'm so surprised.
So, he claimed that he required sufficient materials in order to carry out certain satanic rites, but he had obviously been denied. although, in 2017, it did kind of seem that he had come to terms with his actions. While appealing for a reduced sentence, Danny made the statement, quote, "I do not have the words to fully express my profound sorrow. But I am truly sorry for the harm I caused.
No, he's not.
From the very essence of who I am, from the depths of my soul, I am sorry."
Bullshit.
I mean, please.
I could write that down right now and say it. Bullshit.
Does it really sound like a man who's sorry or a man who wants his sentence reduced?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Fortunately, his appeal was denied.
Where did this happen?
Massachusetts.
Is he still in Massachusetts?
Yeah, he's in jail over there. So he will spend the rest of his life in jail. Although, so it's kind of sad because Andrew Gustafson, which was his final victim, passed away in 2014. So he wasn't around to hear that his family's killer was being banished to life.
Right.
However, upon his deathbed, he allegedly claimed... quote, "Don't ever let him out. He should rot in prison."
That was the dad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Extremely insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I believe the story.
Do you?
Yeah. So, I like a lot of ghost stories,
right.
And I watch, like, a lot of ghost things,
right.
Which ghost things, to me, are always fabricated to a degree.
Right.
It's probably, like, you know how, like, when you, watch, like, Ghost Adventures, it's, like, this woman, threw the glass off the table, and the glass just fell off the table, and that's what happened?
Yeah.
Probably something along the lines
similar,
of that.
Yeah.
Where
that's
it was, like...
what I'm thinking.
Not as, like, fucking dramatic, but, like, it probably happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too, because it's just, like, it's such an odd story.
It's something that, like, it's almost too fucking weird for you to make it up.
Right. But it's also, like, so weird that, like, it could totally be fake.
Right, yeah.
You know? But I like, was so, because I'm so into it. And I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, story-wise.
No,
and then
it
I'm
is.
Like, I'm looking into other articles, and I'm like, fuck, these people are saying it might not have happened? Like,
yeah.
I was like, what?
How'd you find that?
I don't remember.
Because that was really good.
Right?
Yeah, that was really good.
I think I Googled, like, I always Google, like, weird crime stories and stuff like that.
Living in walls. Could you imagine?
Yeah. No. I have that fear because I do have a crawl space in my house.
Me too.
Yeah. It used to be in my old room. And I
really?
Refuse to go in that area because I'm like, whatever's living there, I'm going to just let it live. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead. So I also saw a ghost in my own house, so that's why I got, like,
yeah, ours don't go to any, my crawl space doesn't go to any walls. It goes under these stairs,
oh.
And then it goes under the living room floor.
Oh, wow, that's a big crawl space.
It's huge. It's all under my living room, to the front
really?
Of the house. Yeah.
Do they put stuff down there?
Our Christmas stuff is down there.
Oh, my God.
And, like, childhood stuff. And
oh
it goes
God.
From, like, the end of the house this
right.
way to the staircase and then back to...
Oh, shit. Wow.
Under the kitchen.
Yeah, I don't know how large it is, that crawl space, or what's in it. Like, when
yeah.
we sell my house, we're gonna have to find out what's in it, because I'm
yeah.
intrigued to know what it is.
Because we don't use our attic, because our attic is more annoying to get to than the
right.
crawl space. Like, crawl space is in the closet
right
there,
right.
and then
right.
the attic is in my mom's closet.
Oh,
so it's, like, annoying to get
yeah.
to. And it's
I don't
small.
Think I, do I have an attic? I don't think I have an attic, because... When we were redoing, like, one of our rooms, the rooms in our house, we
mm-hmm.
had to break the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the old, like, the people who lived at the old house put stuff in between, like, the walls.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
We definitely don't. But, yeah, that was my story.
That was really
tonight.
Good. I really
Thank
liked
you.
That one.
Thank you. I was gonna do a Christmas story this year, today.
Yeah.
But then shit got all messed up.
Yeah, I definitely don't have a Christmas one, so.
Yeah. That's it's fine,
sure.
you know. It's fine. It happens.
It's alright.
I do have to say that this new ottoman, I really hope that it doesn't move.
I told my mama we were keeping it down here.
Either that or we asked Santa for a new one.
I was gonna say, I'll buy one.
Because this is, like, perfect.
Yeah,
like,
really?
I am in the, like, I could fall asleep.
You're
right
living
now.
Your life right now.
I really am. It's a good time for me. You're chilly?
Not really.
Okay.
But I just...
I like sleeping. I'm sitting with the blanket. It's comfy for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's... But I
yeah.
just, like...
Yeah. No, not this episode. I was going to tell people what the next episode's going to be.
So, do you want to do... Okay, wait, let's finish and then we'll talk
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I have to say. So,
yeah.
follow us on Instagram.
FIB Podcast.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Future is Bright Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
futureisbrightpod@gmail.com.
Leave us a review.
Please and thank you. We would love that for Christmas.
Yes.
Even though
oh
Christmas
God,
is passed
so
by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if we have any new ones.
I'm
Do
not
we?
Sure. I don't look.
It's just the one person who said, over 10 minutes of not one word regarding the case.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Kick
you
rocks.
It happens, okay? We're having fun.
Kick fucking rocks,
all
right. dude.
That's all I have. So I'm just gonna say, catch you guys next time.
Catch you on the flippity flop.
Bye.